Let's welcome everybody in to Trade Deadline Day.
Chaos.
On the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Wherever you're watching, listening, Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6. I think trade deadline day's today, not tomorrow at 3 p.m. Unofficially, it's going right now, boys.
Yeah, all these GMs heard I was about to come in here and take their jobs by giving fake trades. They're like, we got to get them over with.
It is fake trade day, though, to go with real trade day.
Since we went off the air to right up until this moment, five transactions. Sammy, does that sound about right?
Multitasking stuff here.
We usually do that professionals before the show.
I knew you were going to say it. I got it here in front of me. Just give me 1 second, Kipper. We're sent trade tracker. Since we went off air, we have had the Vegas Golden Knights acquire Anthony Mantha for a second round pick and a fourth round pick. They retained 50% of the contract for Mantha. The Florida Panthers acquired Vladimir Tarasenko for a fourth and a third.
Come on.
Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick to the Anaheim Ducks for a first round pick and a
two Edmonton Oilers from Anaheim.
Yep. And we had Colorado Avalanche and Philadelphia Flyers do Sean Walker to the Colorado Avalanche. Ryan Johansson goes back to the Flyers in a first round pick in that one as well. And Casey Mittelstadt and Bowen Byram swapped. So Colorado gets Casey Mittelstadt. Bowen Byram goes to the Sabres. And the most recent one is Alex Wenberg for a second and a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex Wenberg from Seattle to New York Rangers for a second and a fourth.
In about 32 minutes, to be exact, we're going to welcome in Brad May, former NHLer, Stanley Cup champion. He's also going to participate in Sportsnet's wall-to-wall coverage tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Friday. You're doing it again.
It's only Wednesday today. Why does it feel like Thursday?
It's been a bit of a hectic week.
There's just lots going on.
I've done that 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, I've jumped like a day and a half to Friday.
Well, yeah, you see a vacation in the distance.
Yeah.
So once again, let me reiterate, Brad May will be in Friday, which isn't today or tomorrow.
Nope.
And, but he is here today.
He's part of the panel, and we're going to be part of the panel. I don't know if you saw their promo board yesterday, but it had like the boardroom and then the players and then the like newsbreakers.
And then you guys.
And then Real Kipper and Bourne.
I haven't seen it yet.
They didn't give us a name. They just said Real Kipper and Bourne.
I haven't seen it yet, but last year they had it. It was like newsroom, boardroom, the players, and I'm beside the players. Now, keep in mind, I played. And I'm under a headline that just says analytics. It's like, I wasn't as good, but like I played. I'm just the analytics guy.
We'll find. We'll give ourselves a title by Friday.
Yeah, we'll
How's that?
It out. Yeah.
Also, Jason Bukala, of course, he's done a great job on the Real Kipper and Bourne show as our head scout, a guy that's lived it, been in the trenches before this time of year. He does a great job of breaking it down to who's got assets, who doesn't, who's in a good position still between now and Friday at 3 p.m. So we'll look for Jason at the top of the hour to kick things off on our national edition of our show. But in the meantime, all these trades, Sammy, JB, none involving the Toronto Maple Leafs. Sammy, your Toronto Maple Leafs. How do you feel about that? The things are quiet right now.
I don't know. I'm a little conflicted here because as a fan, you love transactions. There's few things that get the fan base as horned up as transactions do. Yeah. It really is a remarkable thing. But at the same time, I'm looking over these deals today, and none of them I'm like, I sure wish the Leafs did that. Like, can you talk me into the Adam Henrique one? Sure. Like, I guess you could have traded the first, but maybe that's just more of longing for a transaction. But none of the trades that happened today, am I like, that changes them. That gives them a better chance of beating the Florida Panthers or beating the Boston Bruins.
Not to correct you, but like to disagree, I guess.
Yes.
Colorado got way better.
For sure.
You know,
I agree.
Mittelstadt
but
and Walker
Mittelstadt, who is the Leafs equivalent of Mittelstadt or like of Bo and Byram? Like, is it going
to
be?
They don't have it. Exactly. To your point, they couldn't have made that deal.
Yeah, that one to me is not even really a Leafs equivalent. They're not going to be like, yeah, sure, we'll take Lilligren. David Camp for Bo and Byram or Lilligren for whatever. It's just, I'm conflicted. I want a transaction. I think they need help, but at the same time, they got nothing. Boys, I tried to do a fake trade thing today because you guys told me to do it.
Yes, we did.
I woke up this morning at 8:30 and I was working on it till noon. It's hard. Brad is in a really hard spot here. There is not a lot to work with. When you don't have picks and all your players kind of make what they make and you have no real prospects outside of like two really good ones.
And lots of trades and no moves.
You woke up and sweated it out for like 3 hours.
I was grinding.
Be Brad Tree Living right
He's
now.
He's months into this here.
And the moment you got named general manager way back when, this is all you've done every day.
Yeah.
Is look around the league and going, okay, how many picks have I got to work with? What do I got? Who can I move?
I just picture Brad sitting in front of a fireplace in the dark, no lights on his house, swirling a glass of brandy once in a while, just going, Dubas. Just nothing to work with.
No, I really do. As I was sat down and tried to go through it and looked at the I looked at Cervelli's trade board and who he had and thought about what they could do. They really are limited and they're getting left behind, like second round picks for Wenberg, right?
They don't have lots of seconds.
Second round picks are a huge bargaining chip at deadlines. Yep. They don't have one. First round picks, it's like if they trade the 2025 first round pick, they're not showing up for the draft. It's like they are really, really strapped. I'm not just coming to this realization now. Mm-hmm. But when I sat down to do it, it's like I kind of fell for Brad a little bit.
Yeah.
I did.
I get it. So what have your thoughts been on the trades, Kip? Was there any that happened that you went, at least missed a chance here?
No.
No.
No, not at all. I think Walker, for sure.
Yeah.
Like that's a significant addition, I think, to Colorado, a guy that could skate, move the puck.
Mm-hmm. You think they, the price they ended up paying for him.
That wasn't cheap.
Wasn't cheap.
And the Leafs, I don't think, were willing to go there.
I also think, they paid a first to Philly, but part of that is for the courtesy of taking Johansson off their hands.
So
it's more like a second.
First, don't get involved until you get the sweetener. Mm-hmm. So you're right. That was a second until they would eat Ryan Johansson's contract.
Yeah.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, still has another year. It's not like you're buying it the rest of the year. Does he still not have another year?
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Like, that's a significant.
Kip, you're right.
Yeah, this year and next year. Yeah.
So that's why it goes to a first. Mm-hmm. And Seattle couldn't get a first for Wenberg. They tried really hard, but they couldn't do it. So they end up with, a second and a fourth, you said, Sammy?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're a seller right now, you probably haven't loved how today has shaken out. Like, the Tarasenko one is different, right? Because he had a no move and kind of only wanted to go to Florida.
Why did you cringe when you mentioned Tarasenko to Florida? Because you think they got better?
I do.
A lot better?
No, but that's just one extra guy. And I know you've always kind of...
He's a wild card for me.
You've loved him. You've never loved him. And the 3 years we've done this show together,
I think
you bristle when he gets brought up.
I think he's high maintenance.
For sure.
I think he's a guy that he needs to be happy first. And then I can be happy for the team.
Mm-hmm.
I can't fake it.
I also think when you look at that package they got for him, he clearly motivated to go there because that was probably what ended up being the price. Wants to go there, is a UFA, going to the best team in the league, going to not be the number one scoring option. It's a really good situation for him to go into.
Yeah, he's probably going to be the better version of his happy self.
100%.
Given that he's where he is and he won't play top competition. But Kip,
where's he going to play, right? I mean, who's he bumping out? How much of a power play can he get? And if he's not, is he going to sulk? Is he going to...
I sneaky like it from if you're a Leafs fan hoping for some sabotage. It's like, he could be a dissident if he's unhappy.
Yes.
And he's not getting ice
We've
he wants,
it.
The power play he wants.
We saw it in St. Louis.
And it doesn't always defend, with the ferocity of some of the typical Panthers players.
Now, saying that, I've been around the game long enough to understand if you've got a strong room,
yeah,
then you can overcome a guy with, on occasion, drags his lip into the dressing room.
You know what my thought was? And if you're Florida, what you're hoping for is marrying Gabrick. Remember, Gabrick goes there at the deadline, kind of a one-way scorer. L.A. needed some scoring, and he was really – he ended up signing a big contract for them, and the contract didn't work out. But he was great for them on their first Stanley Cup run, mm-hmm, or their second, whichever one it was. You know, he could be that. He could go there, be awesome for them, shoot it in the net a bunch, and, you know, all you got to do is win one cup and you're happy.
There is some thought, too, that if the Leafs may have wanted to shore up some depth, they could add another forward. A guy that can slip in on a third-line checking role. Would that have been Wennberg? Would that have been Mittelstadt?
Mittelstadt I like.
You do, eh?
I do like Mittelstadt a lot.
I liked him a lot more earlier in his career.
Yeah, keep in mind, I watch Buffalo never these days. So.
Yeah, but he was that hotshot world junior kind of star,
yep,
that came out with a lot of sizzle and never found an early fit with, mm-hmm, Buffalo. I think he was sent down. He was hurt, too, I think, on occasion. So
yeah,
it was a slow start. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's the leading scorer at the point that he got traded today.
He's got 47 points this year, which I like.
So he's had a good run.
When you score on a bad team like that, it says something. And, you know, I like that he's 25 years old. I like that he's 6'1", 200. Like, I think that's a guy that can play, and he plays two-way hockey. So, you know, I understand, you know, maybe he's not been what people thought he would be, but I think he's a useful guy.
To me, that's a really interesting trade from both perspectives, because Bowen Byram was like...
It's two teams giving up on a guy.
For sure.
Yeah.
But it's two guys... Well, I wouldn't say, yeah, I guess giving up. But Byram was, in that cup run, was a revelation.
Unbelievable.
He was their...
He skates like
he was
a demon league.
Amazing player. And then he had the concussion issues, and he hasn't really been the same since. But if you get him back to 75% of what he was for them in that playoff series with him and Dahlin and Owen Power, it's like you're starting to really build something on the back end. But it's a big risk.
It is, but I wonder if you're Buffalo and you're not like, Colorado's going on these deep playoff runs every year. He's had some concussion problems. We're not going to make the playoffs. He can have 5 months off before we play an NHL hockey game to, yeah, get right, get acclimated, and then you try to... You're taking, it's a high risk, high reward. Maybe he's injury prone. You never get the best of him. Maybe he's a top pair defenseman in the league that you're getting at 22 years old. So I like the risk on their behalf. If they think Mittelstadt's just going to be eh, then I like the risk. The Henrique to Edmonton one.
Yeah.
I know we're doing the NHL hour right
no,
here, but
we can do more.
I'd do that one if I were the Leafs. I would have done that one. I you know, Carrick is Noel Achary. He is literally Noel Achary.
You would have liked both of them?
Yep.
No. And then what, you wave Gregor, or you just open up the room?
Yeah, it does. It certainly would change things.
But that was expensive for Edmonton.
Well, yeah, because I didn't realize they also gave Tampa a fourth and a fourth to Tampa to eat more money.
Yeah.
So yeah, first, a fourth, and a fifth.
That's not cheap.
No.
I don't know.
Leafs don't want to do that.
The Leafs can't. To Sam's point earlier,
it's the retention that's costing teams these extra.
It's they were down that path on a couple occasions in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm. They've spent a lot.
They spent a lot already. Is there?
So for it's Henrique that's not enough if you're going to do this, because I know you're not opposed to all in. You've been pushing
a month. I would like Henrique too.
Yeah,
I just don't know if that's going to put you over the top. Now, you're going to tell me that you've somehow found a way to get Colton Parayko here and Henrique.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm feeling a lot better about the Toronto Maple Leafs and all in.
Yeah, but now you don't have a first, you don't have Minton, you don't have a fourth, you don't have, you know, there's...
Did you see their draft in 2025?
They don't have one.
They don't have one.
There's no draft.
There's no draft.
Leafs don't need to show up.
The table will be empty.
Yeah, they might as well just...
Do they actually have no picks?
I think they have fourth.
No first, fifth. No second, no third, no fourth, two fifths.
So technically...
They have four picks in the last three rounds.
If it's a two-day draft again, they don't have to go on a Friday night, and they can sleep in Saturday morning.
Just get pickled and wake up in the sphere the next morning? Like, what did I miss? Who's available?
So... If they find a way to nibble around the edges again and go get another Labushkin in the name of Nick Jensen or Matt Dumba, will that make you feel better, Sammy?
Yeah, for sure. They need to add more players. They need to add another defenseman, if you ask me. Okay. Like, I would. It would make me feel better, but not otherworldly. I'm not going to be over the moon. But anyways.
What would Colton Parayko do for you?
I think would get a lot of people excited.
You too?
Yeah.
I'd like to see a big guy like that on the blue line.
Sure.
I told you yesterday, I'm real nervous. 6 years left. I said yesterday 6'5". You said 6'2".
I don't think I said any.
Height-wise?
No. Salary.
Six five.
And it's 6'5", isn't it?
No, it's 6'2".
No, it's 6'5".
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you steered me in the wrong. And I'm like, so dumb. I'm like, you're the producer. I'm just a dumb ex-hockey player trying to be a host. So I'll believe you, 6'2". And then it's 6'5".
Yeah, it's a lot.
But it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
6'2", 6'5", a ton of money at 6 years to go. That wouldn't make you nervous at all?
Of course it would.
I don't think he's playing that great, but then St. Louis wasn't playing that great, and maybe a shot of adrenaline to come here and play with Matthews and Marner.
Do you have any reason to think that that's possible even?
Yes.
Yeah?
I do. I think they were willing to give up the first for Tanev, and Calgary didn't bite, and I think it's still out there to play.
What do you think a cost for a guy like Parayko would be? Because
I have a fake trade involving Colton.
Okay, should we get going?
This is a face-melting blockbuster trade that's never going to happen.
Let me hear
you. Well, we're not here to do
It's a Parayko trade, correct?
It is.
Okay, then that's what we want to hear.
And a lot of these bodies involved in this, because, you know, you got to send money out, right? This is something that they are having a problem with, and I sent some contracts out the door.
I hate these 10 flare ones or whatever.
It's a banger.
I can't make sense of it. Okay.
Okay, so it's TJ Brody.
Yeah.
As part of this. Connor Timmins is part of this. Bobby McMahon. Frazier Minton. Pontus Holmberg.
Oh my God, dude.
And Cali Yarncroc.
That's after team.
Two first round picks and a third for Colton Parayko, Pavel Buchnevich, and Alexei Topinchenko.
Hold on. Parayko, Buchnevich, and Topinchenko?
Yeah.
What's Buchnevich? What's his contract situation?
5-7 this year and next.
Yeah.
For Topinchenko and Buchnevich.
And you're sending two first rounders?
Yeah. Because that's for Buchnevich. That's what they want for Buchnevich. And the other stuff is just to fill in the blanks.
It's too big a trade for me to make sense of.
Kipper said to me a million times that he wants to change the whole bottom half of the team. I just did it.
You did it. Brody, Timmins, McMahon, Holmberg, and Yarncroc. 5 roster players.
Yeah. And you get 3 back.
I don't think I need to. I think I can get away with this trade without losing McMahon and Holmberg. I don't need to throw both of them in.
Okay, so then you're going to bring in another team to make... You're going to trade.
That made the money work?
Yeah.
But you're talking about $750.
No, like, I mean, they both make...
Between Holmberg and McMahon...
Yeah, they make $1 million and a bit combined, right? So you just, like, it's hard. It's really hard to make money work.
Listen, I like it for the Leafs. I like that Buchnevich has another year. Torpchenko, do you know his contract situation?
It's not much.
Yeah.
The first two responses on the text line are you drunk? Are you guys all high?
Yeah.
Desired effect,
no,
maybe.
I like the thought of getting a D and a forward like that for sure.
Okay. You just don't want to give up half the Leafs roster for it.
It honestly is too big for me to make sense of.
There you go.
Like, I like the idea
you don't
of
care about
to get
Brody.
Those guys.
You don't care about Timmins.
Nope. Bobby McMahon has never played like this ever in his life.
Bobby McMahon is a UFA, so it's useless. St. Louis doesn't want Bobby McMahon, okay? They're missing the playoffs, and he's going to go UFA. It's useless.
Okay.
So.
Pontus Holmberg has some value to them. Frazier Minton's a high pick, 2 first-round picks.
Minton
you
and the 2 first
baby?
Are what they're
you
after.
You want to get nuts?
You want to get, let's get nuts.
I like it.
You like it?
I like it.
Oh,
it's not. It needs work.
Of course.
Yeah.
No gravity. I'm just
like
an idiot.
The first draft
of work.
A book or an article or whatever, you know, you create the clay here and then you start molding. You start cutting and adding. And
but this is also a trade that if it doesn't quite work out,
you're done. You have no draft.
For the next 10 years.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it would actually eliminate the Leafs from having a first or a second for three straight drafts.
Do you want any other ones that I cooked up?
I mean,
I gave you the one I was closing with first.
Yeah.
But
that was the first
big one.
We want to do another one.
So, okay, let's just...
Okay, go ahead.
Let's leave Buchnevich out for a second and just focus on Colton Parayko.
Well...
Trim that down to a Parayko trade?
Yeah, so trim it down for me. A first...
I think the contract is a negative asset. I think that it's that long on a guy who's going to be 36 with some injury problems and declining play is like they want to get rid of it to me. So I don't think it's a huge ask. I think it's, you know, in a way you're saying to them, we'll give you a pick. But, we'll give you the first, but we'll take that contract, that risk.
But if you're Doug Armstrong, and I don't necessarily disagree with you that, you know, I'm looking on outs of this contract, I don't have to negotiate against myself and with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'll just go into the draft this summer and open it up to 15, 20 teams who may want to take Colton Parayko by then.
You know, I hear that a lot, but I don't see that play out in reality a lot. Like, I don't know.
But you got a lot of time to still move this asset.
You do.
And people need defense.
For sure. And I think that the younger in the contract you get him for a playoff run, the more value it has. You know, like I would think now is when you could get a first for it. Otherwise, I think it risks become the OEL deal, as I mentioned yesterday, where you end up getting it bought out or something because he doesn't perform. And
would a first Minton do it for Parayko, but they'd have to eat?
They have to eat so much money for so
long.
Just,
no, you just eat to, yeah, I know, but and then you have to take Brody. You know,
yeah, but
throw Brody in there to take it.
Like, are the St. Louis Blues, and they're going to pay how much? How many years left? They're going to pay $10 million for a guy.
What are you talking about?
For if they're retaining on.
Oh, I'm not looking for retention.
Well, that's what you meant.
No, I did not. No, I think that they can do this, taking the whole contract.
Yeah.
And just moving Brody's
number for sure.
out.
Yeah, that's what I did in my trade that is getting absolutely blasted by everyone. I love it.
No one likes anything.
No, it's great. I have the desired effect. You guys want another one?
I do. I also want this Parayko thing now to happen.
Mitch Marner for Sidney Crosby. No. Okay, next one. This is involving the Seattle Kraken and the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Timothy Liljegren, TJ Brody, Kalle Yarncroc, a first and a third for Adam Larson at 50% retained, or 5% retained, and Yanni Gourde at 50% retained.
Seattle's hanging up on people who call for their defense.
Hanging up.
They're not even having a conversation.
I had heard from someone that Borgen was you could get him.
I like that one, though.
That was this trade?
Yes.
Yes. Lilly, Brody, and Yarncroc, a first and a third for Larson. Very specifically, 5% retained to make the math work.
Yes, and 50%.
That's how I know you did the work.
And 50% on Yanni Gourde.
And Gourde has how many years left?
This and next at 5-something.
And Larson has this and next as well.
Okay, hold on for a second. Do it again for me.
Okay. TJ Brody.
I'm with you now. I saw a squirrel.
TJ Brody.
Hold on. TJ Brody.
Timothy Liljegren. And Kalle Yarncroc. A first and a third for Adam Larson at 5% retained and Yanni Gourde at 50% retained.
Okay, do you understand, though, that this kills Seattle? It makes them so much worse. They'll never do this.
If you're Seattle, okay?
Where's the value?
You're doing it
as a super fan right now for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You like the first and the third. Kalle Yarncroc's a decent NHL player.
And you get a young upside. Third-line player and on a Stanley Cup contending team.
Similar to what Yanni Gourde is. Yanni Gourde's a better version of Kalle Yarncroc to me.
And Lilly.
Why? Because he's tough.
Tough.
Tougher.
Grittier. Yeah.
He's competitive.
Hard nose.
He's a playoff performer. Yarncroc has yet to prove he can play in the playoffs. This is not doing it for
Oh, yeah. You're shutting it down?
So you got to add
It's
then.
Nothing. It's.
Okay.
It's so, making Seattle significantly worse.
So if you give them a first and a
they want to win now.
They're
pissed that they've missed the playoffs. They think they're going to come back next year and make the playoffs.
Yanni Gourde on pace for 11 goals and 21 assists, 75 PIMs. Yeah. This is pace.
But yeah, he's not having a huge year.
No.
You got to give something.
Okay,
you give something up here.
So if you throw in a Minton or Robertson or something like that, it's going to do it.
Not enough value.
Okay,
you're getting. See, the real value in this trade is Larson, and what makes him more attractive, besides being a real steady guy out there, is his contract is really attractive moving forward. Here, I think he's got two more years at a little over four. Like
this year, that's what you dream of for
teams to have. They're not giving it away.
Okay. He might be worth the first and the third in that trade if he were for sale right now.
If he were for sale right now, you would be looking at potentially, a first and a second.
Yeah.
Okay. The one I had was involving Adam Henrique, so I can't do that one anymore.
Okay, Henrique.
I had him to Toronto for at 50% retained for Nick Robertson and a third-round pick, and Montreal has to give Chicago. You have to give Chicago's – fifth round pick to Montreal to retain some of the money to make it work.
Not get it.
Yeah, man. Obviously just not.
First rounder. I told you guys a long time ago that guy was first round potential.
Yep.
And the last one I have is involving Dumba at 50% retained. So you're giving them Liljegren, a fourth in 2026, and Gregor to make the money work for Dumba at 50% retained.
Liljegren fourth, yeah.
You really want to get rid of Liljegren.
Oh, I'm dying to. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. If
I'm the general manager here.
If I'm Arizona and I go Lily for Dumba, I'm very happy. I'm Arizona. Give me the younger player who might have some upside, who plays 20 minutes a night sometimes, and take my Dumba. But if I'm the Leafs, I like it too. He's better today, I think.
Yeah.
Can do more things at least.
Wow. So there you go, boys. How about that? I got to play with that Blues one again. That was a bomb. That took me some time, boys.
Sure. I appreciate the work you put into these.
We're going to welcome in Brad May after the break.
I have a bonus Canucks one. Should I save the Canucks one for the national
show? Okay. For sure. Thoughts before we go to break on the Buffalo Sabres coming in? You want to hear Sheldon Keefe talk about the 9-3 loss?
I think we should just get to Brad May. He's outside the door, so we'll get him coming in here.
All right. You're the boss. Yeah. Brad May after the break. Mayday! Mayday! Mayday!
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kiprios, Justin Bourne, and in studio with us, the delightful Brad May.
An essential part of our show for years now.
So he walks in. I give him a little of the man hug right there. And still a big, thick man with big mitts. And I'm like, it's just nice to give you a nice friendly hug rather than you beating on my head that one night behind the Hartford net where we ended up squaring off. And I'm like,
you guys fought, eh?
Yeah, we fought. And I'm like, this is stupid.
Dislike or circumstantial.
This is stupid because we teach every summer at Vern Buffy's hockey school. Seneca College. We skate. And I'm like, this is how desperate I am to hang on to a career that I got to fight my good friend, Brad May. And the answer was yes.
Yes, in conclusion.
Hey, the one thing I'd say about that is there's nothing wrong with fighting your friends. It's nothing wrong with fighting in hockey back then anyways. It was your job. You're playing for the crest on the front of your jersey, and we all knew it. We actually made each other more valuable.
Yeah.
You know, the more partners you had throughout the league, and of course, as that dwindled, maybe the relevance of fighting kind of, diminished. So, but Nick, it was always fun playing against
you.
And I looked up to Nick, and he's a few years older than me, but, Vern Buffy's hockey school, summer skates, Adam Graves, Steve Spott, Jeff Benick, who was a player who never got anywhere, but We had a ton of fun
but
in the summer.
But super rich right now, I hear.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So he's doing way better
good
than
for,
us.
Good for Jeff.
Genuine question. Do you dial back the violence on the punches at all because it's a buddy, or is it still you got to win a fight?
Not a chance.
No, not a chance.
And first of all, at that time, Hartford Whalers, Buffalo Sabres, Adams Division.
Hartford was heavy.
Now, maybe that wasn't, you know, the greatest rivalry, but when Nick was playing for the Rangers, I think we had another one in front of the bench where I think Nick suckered me.
And I'm not,
but,
but I think I got to get him too. He's bigger and stronger than me. I needed the head start. Let me ask you about this week as we go into the, as we are right in the thick of things of the trade deadline. Were you one of those players that just went with the flow? Because I can recall playing with a lot of guys who really got nervous this time of year, and you could just tell whether you're in practice with them, having a beer with them, or playing an actual game that they're not snapping out of it until this thing's over.
Yeah, you know, for me, I got traded twice in the trade deadline. So it was more about contract expiring, wanting to continue to play, not knowing where that's going to be. So trades were always exciting. Great. Other than the first trade from Buffalo to Vancouver in my career, that was heartbreaking until you got to the next city and you had a 25 new friends and guys that, you know, that wanted you on their team, and it was exciting. And then, of course, going to Vancouver, Mark Messier and Pavel Bure, fortunately, became my line mates for the rest of the season. So
that's
that was
pretty unbelievable.
Incredibly exciting for me. But I never, you know, throughout my career, later in my career, obviously trade deadline days, you just didn't know what teams wanted out of you, or were they going to, you know, invest in you further, you know, longer term. So at that point, a trade actually is an opportunity for players. So I for me, it was the greatest thing. I traveled North America. I got to play for seven different teams, but Vancouver twice. I got traded back to Vancouver at a deadline and had an opportunity to play in the playoffs, chase your dream. And the second trade at the deadline was a dream come true. I got traded to the Anaheim Ducks, and we won 3 months later.
Did you know the first one to Vancouver, it was coming, it was rumored? Were you a little prepared, or were you completely blindsided?
I wasn't completely blindsided. There was a change in ownership, change in management, change in coaching. And when that happens, there's casualties. It took a half a season to get there. I was kind of at that point, I had a shoulder problem in Buffalo. They thought I was done. What I'd like to say and look at those guys and talk to them today was I played 12 more years.
That's
and
awesome.
They thought I was finished. But at that point, I mean, they're trying to build their team for the future. They ended up going to the conference final that season, the Buffalo Sabres. And then next year they went to the Stanley Cup final and lost to Dallas. So Buffalo made some great moves. For my trade, Jeff Sanderson came back the other way from Vancouver, and he was a great goal scorer for Buffalo and really, you know, solidified whether he was on the second or third line. I'm not sure. But for Jeff, it was great, and for me, it gave me a new lease on life out in Vancouver. So trades are great for players if you're ready for it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a professional sport. Until you're traded, you're definitely apprehensive. But the more it happened, or the more moves that I had in my career, the more exciting it was.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's interesting because by the time you got traded to Anaheim, you were far enough along in your career that you're a veteran guy with a ton of experience. How is it going into a new room? You know, you don't want to be the voice of a new room or be too overbearing or kind of working your way in as someone who wants to be a veteran leader, but you can't kind of force yourself on people.
100%. So I learned that, and every team that you go to, you learn that, where the power dynamics are, how that room, every room works a little bit differently. Obviously, it comes down to the performance on the ice, but chemistry is such a big deal. One thing I can say about the Anaheim trade, and not making myself any more important than what I was, and I definitely did some great things in the stretch drive and then, of course, the playoffs to win. But I didn't screw it up, right? We ended up being the winner at the end of the day. So understanding, you know, when you go into that room and there's two young dynamic players in Getzlaff and Perry, Tamu Solani is the most gregarious, amazing person and player. I sat between Ilya Brizgalov and Scott Niedermeyer. And at that time, they called it the dead corner because they both were very quiet. Either nobody wanted to talk to Briz, and Scotty's our professor, and he sat in the corner and he would read the paper in his book before practices. But Scotty was always prepared, and they wanted to liven up that corner of the room, and I don't shut up. So we had a ton of fun going into that locker room. But you have to understand that it's not going to be the same as what it once was,
mm-hmm.
and your role is going to be different, and you have to wear a different hat, or many hats, maybe.
Right.
We're talking to former NHLer Brad May, 1,041 games, 2,248 penalty minutes, and most important, Stanley Cup champion. So this is our Leaf edition of our show, Mayday. So let me ask you, we've been in rooms this time of year. Not only do you have a real general manager, you got 20 of them in a dressing room who constantly go.
Yeah, all the time.
Well, what do we have? What do we need? Are the Leafs right now in that situation where they're having these quiet conversations going, boys, we need this?
There's no question. Every team does it, no matter if you're in the playoffs or not. Teams that aren't in the mix, they're looking for their future, how they're going to build their team, what picks are coming back. But picks don't matter to a player that's in the NHL.
Right.
Outside of maybe that young player becomes a player that's going to, you know, take your job. But everybody wants to win. And in Toronto, it's close for them. They believe it probably more than we do, mm-hmm. that they're much closer. They just played the Boston Bruins. There's no answer to David Pastrnak across the NHL, so I'm not saying it's a Toronto thing. But I'm sure players are talking about what they need. And I'm pretty sure it's probably on the back end. They're very confident up front, and maybe some grit, some way to make other teams uncomfortable on their third and fourth line. There's a lot of times there's a little pressure points in games, mm-hmm. where I think a third line or a fourth line or that individual player could do something out of character to actually really make an impact. Who is that? Who wants to be that guy? And it's a great place. If I was a player, I'd be looking at this saying, listen, I'm on the Toronto Maple Leafs. How can I best make an impact? And I think it's pretty evident for all of us that watch it all the time. They can score goals. Their offense is, you know, electric when it's on. But you got to be able to defend in those 1-2-1 games, really tight checking ones.
Yeah. Can guys change, you know, going into playoffs, the guys who don't typically commit to defense, or kind of is like you are who you are and it'll come out eventually?
Well, I think it, you know, always said that you can't turn on that switch,
yeah.
you know, when you want it. I think that's where practice, and as much as a player and practice thousands of times in the NHL, not saying that I didn't like practice, but at the end of the day, you have to work your tail off, and it's more about focusing, paying attention to the details. And every coach is different, every system is different, and the ability to change on the fly and adjust when you need to. But as a player, you don't have to wait for a coach to tell you what to do. Take that responsibility, take that ownership, and understand that when somebody is abusing one of your players in a game that you might be up a couple goals or down, Ottawa, Morgan Riley, going back a few weeks ago, maybe that was a little aggressive, a little crazy, but at the end of the day, they went on a 9-1 run, right?
You think that's connected?
You know what? Not only that, I think it's actually given Morgan Riley a 2-week break that he desperately needs.
Good timing.
If you're the Toronto Maple Leafs and you're going to rely on him for the next 2.5 months, I think that rest is incredible. Yeah. But it also gives ownership to other players that maybe aren't comfortable just reaching out and taking it, right? As a defenseman, play stronger, play better. But guess what? If you don't, they're going to make changes. And I think that's coupled with the trade deadline. Guys play desperate because they want to stay where they are. Or guys play desperate because they want other people to value them.
It's been well documented over the last few years what Kyle Dubas spent. And it's left limited resources for Brad Tree living here. And you ask almost Leaf Nation, and there seems to be maybe a split. Keep going. Go. Don't stop now. Or it's like, hey, pull the reins in a little bit here. There may not be much left here. So protect it. Where are you on this particular club? And maybe the thought of being aggressive for a guy like Colton Parayko.
I was going to say that, Nick. I think Colton Parayko, first of all, every team in the National Hockey League would love this player.
Yeah.
Big body, plays hard, awfully difficult to get to the net, a massive wingspan, and you can't teach reach, right? When you actually can actually break up plays, Colton Parayko can do that, and he also can skate. He'd be a great get. Here's the thing. If you're thinking the Toronto Maple Leafs with their salary cap and everything else can become a better team in a year from now, you're actually missing the value that you've already invested in and that's already here, that's competing and is successful. Austin Matthews, an incredible year. I mean, their top players are great. John Tavares, I know people, and I've been one of them. You know, that contract's a tough one for the Toronto Maple Leafs just because it makes everything else harder to fit into. But John Tavares has earned every dollar that he's made as the captain of the team. The question is he going to be, for the next 2 months, 2.5 months, are happy to be on the third line and actually, you know, champion that line? Because right now that's where they're at. Mm-hmm. That time will tell for that. But I think their top-end players are great. Whoa. If they don't go in and get a guy like Parayko or another defender, what does that say to them? These guys want to win.
Yeah.
And it is now. They believe they can win now. That doesn't mean that they will. But I don't think there's time to wait in Toronto at this moment. I don't think so.
They are in a window, and I don't know how long it lasts.
Yeah, if you don't invest in this core.
That they are in their peak, and they've got experience, and they've been through some really tough times that should make their skin thicker for the next go-around in April. Like, you can't discount that.
No, and you know what? These guys are, I mean, they're playing. They've got a great record or a decent record. Maybe we thought it was going to be even better, but they're positioned to do well. The bottom line, though, is they have to get out of their division. Yeah. And there's some good hockey teams there. And the Florida Panthers just got better with their trade for Tarasenko. Now, you don't have to get – I don't think the Toronto Maple Leafs need more scoring or more offense. Maybe the offense from the bottom six.
Yeah.
But I think they need more of an identity on the bottom six to be able to actually get out there and not only kill time on the clock – but change momentum when it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
For me up front, every player on their own, I think, are decent players, good players, but together, what's their identity? I still don't think that teams are afraid to play against that group of players. Certainly not physically.
They're not. Yeah.
And when you get to these tight playoff games, when it ramps up and it goes from a marathon to the sprint, because we're not there yet, the game changes and it definitely speeds up. And every mistake or every great play has, you know, an amazing effect. I'm excited to watch this year.
It'll be fun.
I think there's a lot of moves that have been made. Edmonton just made a move. I think Colorado just bolstered their team. Are they the best team in the West now? You know, by acquiring those two players, we'll soon find out. But forget the West for a moment. I think Toronto's got a lot of hockey to play, and they got to play their best hockey. John Muckler once said to me when he was my coach in Buffalo, it's not the best team that wins the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. It's the team playing best at that time. And that's all you need to do is you have to bring your best. Now, the question is, when it gets tough, do you have any passengers? You cannot win with passengers.
You went into a couple of playoffs with arguably one of the best goalies in the history of the game in Dominic Hasek. And I think you could have looked at your lineup and go, weak here, kind of not great here, but oh my God, with that guy back there, we can win on any night, any game.
And we were good enough. We had guys that, you know, scored 20 goals. 1 year in particular, 96, 97, when we moved into the new arena and we changed our color scheme. And the Buffalo Sabres, Dom Hasek was a Vezina and the Hart Trophy winner.
Yeah.
And of course, he was our team. But we had guys, Jason Daw and Randy Burtz, 25 goals each. Michael Pekka emerging as not only the Selke winner that year, Selke Trophy winner. Dixon Ward accompanying him, killing penalties, being that guy. We had a really good team then, but we also had an identity on the bottom six where, you know, if the game got out of hand, and I know it's not going to happen like this the way hockey's played now, but teams got uncomfortable when they came in to play a bunch of idiots. And we were. And by the way, we were willing to do whatever it takes to win on that night.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm looking at you guys watching right now. You have to be willing to do what the other guy's not willing to do to win.
I only see one team in the East that act like that, and that's the Florida Panthers.
And
they're,
you know,
idiots.
And you know what happened? Toronto played them last year in the playoffs. And yes, they had a... They won that series, you know, the monkeys off their back in round one. But criticizing the Toronto Maple Leafs, that might have been the easiest series of the playoffs last year, the second round for the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, and I think they might tell you the same.
And that would be, you know, that the intangibles that you can't really put a finger on. But why is that player more of a competitor than the guy he's playing against? Body of work, a willingness to do whatever it takes, and You know, you got to trust your teammates. And every team going into the playoffs, there are teams that won't have full-on trust. Teams that do, they have a better chance.
So what do you think then of Ryan Reeves' situation here in Toronto? If you had asked us after 15, 20 games, we might have said, I can't see him playing out this three-year contract. He's not going to get back into the lineup. He's had a really good run here for a month maybe, scored a goal or two, a couple of fights. He looks energized, skating well. Is that the type of guy, like, do you see him in their lineup that makes a difference for them?
He's making a difference today?
Like, no, there's in playoffs, does he need to be in their lineup?
Well, I worked in Vegas as a broadcaster with the Vegas Golden Knights, yeah. And Ryan Reeves was a big part of that team, along with William Carrier and Thomas Nosek. But again, an identity on their fourth line. Gerard Gallant would play these guys, play them religiously 10, 12 minutes a night, and these guys actually made a difference. They were both in the top hits, number of hits in the NHL, although I think the guy who was actually the statistician in Vegas probably was a little more generous. But Ryan Reeves has that ability. He's got to remember who he is. The problem for other teams, or the advantage other teams may have, is they don't have somebody or a whole team that wants to even, you know, encounter that, yeah, or bring Ryan Reeves into the battle. He has to find a way to not take penalties and still intimidate players. And that, and by the way, intimidation's a massive factor, and you can't gauge it other than I know, and Nick knows, that we're on the ice, and when you knew that you were a little timid to play against a guy because you saw how ramped up and you know you can match his energy or couldn't, that's an uncomfortable place to be in front of 18,000 people you can't get off the ice.
My specialty here, because I'm the guy who's intimidated by people like you two who are willing to fight your mothers to get to the Stanley Cup. You know, like I played in the American League and...
Hey, my mom doesn't like that, but I love it.
Oh,
I love that.
It's our staple.
Hey, mom, my mom is a beautiful woman,
though. It is a theme, though, the willingness to do that. And I think you're aware when you're on the ice with or against people like that. And when you have them on your line, it's a lot of fun. You know, so I do believe that it's an underrated quality is intimidation. And watching Luke Shen come to Toronto last year, stand between the benches
loved it.
The Leafs loved it. I loved it. They're running their mouth, and the Leafs didn't have anyone who would stand up, and he just stood there and just took it.
Even to watch
beat the hell out of Pat Maroon.
Wayne Simmonds a few years ago having a conversation with Maroon across the bench gave you a feeling of attitude.
Stand up to
and,
them,
right?
Know?
I want to say, I might be wrong on this one, but 2 years ago, Kyle Clifford, right? Was it 2 years
Clifford
ago?
Simmons, Clifford
unfortunately for Clifford, Kyle, he made that hit.
Took a bad penalty.
Took him out of the series, but they didn't put him back in.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the Boston Bruins won the Stanley Cup and beat the Vancouver Canucks. By the way, Vancouver should have won that Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
We were all in on the Canucks.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. I shouldn't say should have. The Boston Bruins were so capable, and they won.
Yeah.
But Sean Thornton was inserted into the lineup in game three, mm-hmm, and he made a big-time difference. Slapped a couple guys around, and there was no answer in Vancouver after 2 months of a long battle. And you know what? The Boston Bruins found some energy. And then,
Talk about identity. That line was with Greg Campbell and Daniel Paille, I think, with him.
And they had, of course, then Zdeno Chara, some big defensemen, Adam McQuaig. These guys, they were intimidating to play against, and it actually made a difference, and they won the Stanley Cup.
We're running out of time, but we can go on for hours, by the way. No, it's not you. It's the time. I got to ask you about Rempe in New York, and all of a sudden, New Jersey trades for McDermott's kid. Paul McDermott's son is Curtis, big guy. Where are we going with this, Mayday?
You know what? Here's the crazy part. The world is telling us that it shouldn't be here, certainly hockey fans and the way everything's gone. Do you know that how much excitement? Rempe was skating in New York the last game they played. I was watching for a brief period, and he was on the ice. He made a play, and he had a standing O chant for him in Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
Are you telling me that people don't like this? People love it. And I can't believe anybody. Nobody's ever said, hey, I want a refund on my ticket money because this team played too physical. It's an exciting thing. Toronto would love it. Every city would love it. And you know what? With New Jersey and New York, listen, it's nuclear weapons. It's an arms race. And for that, I think for Travis Green, who's a buddy of ours, I hope he does a great job.
We got to get out of here. Okay. Hey, if love you it. Love Mayday on Real love Kipper it. And Bourne, go see him on Friday. Thank you. Deadline day.
Deadline.